All right, everybody, I'm glad you all prepared very, very intensely. We have a special guest today. We have Harav Bednarsh to come and share his depth of knowledge with us in Sif Beis, in Siman Taf for Islamic Tests. And definitely, guys, if you have questions, feel free to ask. This is where I ask all my questions, too. So if you have any questions, please, please, please make sure you ask them. Right? Whatever you're ready.
Okay, great. So Sif Bet of the Shulchan Aruch, which is summarizing the sugya of Arai, which is found mostly on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, but has a few important lines on Daf. The Mishnah is Daf Chav Hey, but the Gemara is Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, and a few important lines on Daf Chav Zayin as well. But it says Ochlim Mishosim Yishenim B'Sukkah Kol Shiva. Okay, you eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah all 7 days. Bein B'Yom Bein B'Laila. Day or night, ve'ein yishenim chutz l'sukkah, afilu she'enes harayiv, al-motru lechol achilas harayiv chutz l'sukkah. Okay, the first line here is not very controversial. You're allowed to have achilat harayiv chutz l'sukkah, that's before the Mishnah and the Gemara. You're not allowed to sleep, even a she'enet harayiv chutz l'sukkah is the explicit maskana of the Gemara that we all remember from the bottom of Daf, Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. There's no heter of harayiv in she'ena. The modern day post can point out, and the Ramah later on will take it a little further, even though there's no heter or arai in Shana, that doesn't mean there's never a heter to sleep outside the sukkah. That just means there's no heter based on the amount. Because as all the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, eating, there's a large amount that satisfies you and a smaller amount that doesn't satisfy you. Sleeping, sometimes people only need a little sleep and are fully refreshed, and therefore any amount of sleep is considered keva. However, there are other heterim of sleeping outside the sukkah. So, for example, there's a heter later on of hochei drachim, right? If someone is traveling, they're allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. And there, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from a modern day sefer. If someone is like on a bus or a car and nods off, then you don't have to wake them because they're hochei drachim and they're allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. There's also a famous heter from Shlomo Zalman, who actually complicates a little more, which we won't get into, if someone falls asleep during the rabbi's speech or during the shir in shul on sukkahs, that's not an Aveira because of Teishu King Taduru. Because just like you leave your house and fall asleep during the rabbi's speech all year long, so too you fall asleep during the rabbi's speech on Sukkos. Okay, maybe you shouldn't do that all year long. Lemaisa, I personally, that's not such a Pashat Heter. I personally try to be Machbar on that and not fall asleep even during the rabbi's speech and even during Shir on Sukkos, which I know is very, very hard. I try, when I give shir on sukkahs, I try to do it in a sukkah, so that when I put people to sleep, it won't be a problem. But there's definitely what to rely on to fall asleep during the Dvar Torah or the shir on sukkahs, because the teishu came to duru, because that's a normal thing to do all year long. And for hochei drachim, there's an explicit gemara to rely on, that, you know, hochei drachim, if people nod off in the car, then that's okay during sukkahs. Okay, now, the main discussion here in the Mechaber of this Sif, in the Beis Yosef of this Sif, is how to define Achilas Arai. Right, Achilas Arai is mutter outside the sukkah, but Achilas Keva is an Isher Daraisa outside the sukkah. So, how do you define Achilas Arai and Achilas Keva? And that comes up in three areas. Number one, there's Machlokes you've shown them in three ways. It's not all in the Beis Yosef here. Number one, what's the shear of bread for Achilas Arai versus Achilas Keva? Right, so issue number one is, the shear of Achilas Arai or Keva bepas, right, in bread. Because over here, Abaye Sebachlokes Rav Yosef and Abaye, if we remember from Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, Rav Yosef says 2 or 3 egg size is still Arai, and Abaye says, not true. Only kiditaim bar birav va'ayilakala. Like a quick bite that a Torah student takes for breakfast and then goes to shir. So how big is that big bite that the Torah student eats for breakfast and goes to shir? It's not 100% clear. So there are 4 shitas in the Rishonim about how big that is. Anyone know any of the shitas? As to how much bread is arai, yes? One egg, that's the shita of Rashi and many other Rishonim. I wrote down a list here someplace. Rashi and most Rishonim, I would say. Right? So, let's see. What's the Shir of Arai? Shir Achilos Arai. The Pas. What is Arai? So, one Shita is Rashi and most Rishonim. He says Kibetza. So, Kibetza is Arai. More than a Kibetza is Keva. Why would he think Kibetza is... Arai? The simple pshat is, two reasons. A, the Gemara in Daf Chazayim and Aleph says they want to be medayik from the Mishnah that Rav Tzadok ate less than a kibetza outside the sukkah. So kibetza needs a sukkah. So isn't that against Abaye? So that means Abaye thinks a kibetza doesn't need a sukkah. So since the example there was a kibetza, maybe Davka kibetza, there's a better reason. What is time? Time means one, maybe Rashi thought time meant like one bite, one swallow. How much can you swallow at once? The Gemara says, a person can only swallow kibetza at once. So if it's time once, then maybe that's a kibetza. There are other shitas though. The Rambam and some Rishonim held it was kibetza. Oh, Ktsas Yoser. It was around the kibetza. They agreed with Rashi the Shir is a kibetza. The Gemara mentions a kibetza, but you can't be so exacting. So it's around the kibetza.
I grew up learning that mizonos has to be in the sukkah, but if I could eat a kibetza bread, I think I could at least have like 3-4 cookies. No.
I mean, depends which size cookies. Like, obviously not big black and white cookies, but yeah, for sure you could eat a kibetza mizonos outside the sukkah. The repashit. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Lechachila fine, yeah. To eat a kibetza of bread, so for sure, to eat a kibetza mazonos, the rapasha. Like, that's quite a number of pretzels, right? Cookies, it's hard to say how many cookies, because there's little cookies and big cookies. There are two other shitas that I just, important to point out. The Ramban in the Melchamos, you know the Melchamos? It's really called Melchamos Hashem, but in yeshivas they call it Melchamos in plural for no terribly good reason. In the back, the Gemara says it is, he says, kibetza o shtayim, meaning shtei kibetza. Right? One or two. Where does he get that from? It seems, pasha to me, that he got it from the contrast between Abaye and Rav Yosef. Meaning he says up to two kibetza is still. Why? Because Rav Yosef says two or three beitzim is arai. So if Abaye argues, if you argue with two or three, you must hold one or two. So that's probably where he got it from. And then there's a fourth shita of the Behag. The Behag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, the most famous of the halachic works of the Gaonim. Right, this is the most popular book from the Gaonim that you see Rishonim quoting and Poskim quoting the most, is the Behag, Baal Halachas Gedolos. He didn't call it the Baal Halachas Gedolos, he just called it Halachos. You should know, in the old days, there was a kind of book people wrote called Halachos. What was a book called Halachos wrote? Mean? Which means you go through the Gemara, and you like repeat the maskanas of the Gemara, and any halachal maisa necessary to add. Who's the most famous person who wrote a book of Halachos? The Riff, right? So the Riff wrote a Halachos. There are many Gaonim wrote books of Halachos. That was the standard style in the Gaonim. And there are many other later Rishonim wrote Halachos. Okay, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, he just called his book, Here's My Halachos. We call the Halachos Gedolos because it was the most famous, important book in the time of the Gaonim, and then we called him the Baal Halachos Gedolos, where we get the Behag. Okay, we're still not 100% sure who wrote the Behag. It's Machlokas Rishonim who wrote the Behag. But many Rishonim hold this review Daigon, but it's not so clear, but it's very, very important. Like Tosfos and the Rishonim Pasuk makes it all the time. He says only, might as well finish in Hebrew, Pachos. Mi kibetza. He says it's only less than a kibetza. His main raya is, there's a Gemara in Yoma which discusses this, which sounds like that Achilas Keva is a kibetza. So he brings a raya from that. The Behag is against our Gemara. Our Gemara in the Tafach of Zayin and Aleph says, try to follow this, you have to hold cup. Rav Tzadok ate less than a kibetza outside the sukkah. That means a kibetza is chayiv in sukkah. Isn't that against the halacha? According to the Behag, that's not against the halacha. That's fine. So the Bahag had a different girsa there. Our girsa says, isn't this against Abaye, the halacha? He says, isn't against Rav Yosef if we don't paskin like, but it works fine for the halacha. Okay, these are the four shitas. Which shita do we paskin like? We paskin like the shita. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, says, the Avol Motu Lechol Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah V'Kama Achilas Arai Kebeitza Mipas. A kibbutz is achilas arai. This is the shita of Rashi and most Rishonim. Even though the Mechaber often likes to quote the shita of the Rambam, but that's not if more Rishonim disagree. Here we pass like Rashi and Rove Rishonim that an exact kibbutz you could eat outside the sukkah, a little one crumb, one morsel more than a kibbutz you have to eat inside the sukkah. That's the borderline of arai, at least for bread. Now, how about other non-bread foods? So. What does the Mishnah say? Who remembers the Mishnah? Does it say Ochlin Arai Chutz L'Sukkah? What did I leave out? Ochlin V'Shomsin Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. You can eat and drink Arai outside the Sukkah. Okay, so you can drink Arai outside the Sukkah. What seems to be the Diuk? You can drink Arai outside the Sukkah, but you can't drink Kev outside the Sukkah. I say seems to be. Okay, that's the whole question. What does it mean? What about shtia? The Mishnah says the Mishnah, ochlin vishosin. You forget the ochlin part. Says the Mishnah, vishosin arai chutz l'sukkah. Now, the question is to be medayik in this Mishnah or not to be medayik in this Mishnah. And this is a famous machlokes rishonim. The Rush, although it's also found in the Mordechai, and they both get it from one of the early Rishoni Ashkenaz called the Yoreim. I don't know if you learned a lot of Yoreim. The Yoreim was a Lezer Mimetz. He's a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, and wrote one of the earliest halacha books written by the Bali Tosfos. And he's often quoted. Sometimes he's quoted the Sefer Yoreim, sometimes just the Rabbi Lezer Mimetz in Tosfos, often quotes Yoreim, and the Rosh of the Mordechai and other halachic books of the Ashkenazim quote the Yoreim. The Yoreim, and here we have two ways of looking at it, says the Yoreim and the Mordechai, and most famously the Rush, says, no diuk. Don't be medayik anything. What does it mean? It's not meant to be a diuk. It's meant to be a klal. It means that all shtia is arai, and thus mutter chutz l'sukkah. That's what it means. It doesn't mean like you can drink arai outside the sukkah, but kevayat inside the sukkah. Shti is by definition arai. And where do they get the idea shti is by definition arai? The Bir Halacha mentions this taina, because the Gemara in Brachos wonders whether you bench on wine or not, and decides no, because there's no kfiyas suda on wine. You only kfiyas suda on bread. There's no kfiyas suda on wine. That cake is also bread, but there's no kfiyas suda on wine. Therefore, wine is keva. And if wine is keva, kolsh gain, Coca-Cola, and apple juice and water is keva. That goes without saying. I don't think anyone that have water would need the sukkah. That's clearly not kvius. So says these Rishonim, the Mishnah means shtia is automatically arai. However, you could read the Rishonim. You could read the Rishonim a different way. What's the other way you could read the Rishonim? You could read the Mishnah, sorry. The other way you could read the Mishnah is that, like the Ritva and the Machzor Vitri. What's the Machzor Vitri? Machzor, we know what a Machzor means, right? But in the days that we've shown him, Machzor meant something slightly different. It had the same basic idea. Anyone know why a Machzor is called a Machzor? Why is a Machzor called a Machzor? What does that do with the root word Chazar? So Machzor means in Hebrew a cycle, because it's something you're Chozer, go around, around, around. And machzor, the word for cycle is a machzor in modern Hebrew. So machzor means the cycle of the year. That's what we call it a machzor. Nowadays, we have a machzor for Hashanah, a machzor for Yom Kippur, a machzor for Sukkot. That's just because, we added a lot of mefarshim, translation, and transliteration, and this Asian, and that Asian. And it's cheap to print books. In the old days, people had one machzor for the whole year. That was called a machzor, because they had the machzor Hashanah, the cycle of the year. And in the machzors in the old days were not just like nowadays. We're not like an old machzor that your grandfather might have that just has the tefillos. They were more like an art school machzor, which had tefillos and halachos, and usually just tefillos and halachos, not the little inspirational ideas on the bottom. But machzor in the old days had tefillos and halachos. And therefore, machzor vitri, there was a Rav Simcha Mivitri, who was a Talmud of Rashi, and he wrote a machzor, and that the machzor was not mostly the davening of all the special days of the year, it was mostly the halachos. And especially, meaning he not halachos, but everything in Dalachet Geshokhan Aruch, halachos having to do with different things in the year. That's the Machzor Vitri. So the Machzor Vitri obviously writes about Hilchos Sukkah, because that's part of a Machzor and Sukkah. So in the old days, if you would live 1,000 years ago and someone give you a Machzor, you could expect to find all the halachos in there. Which again, the art school also puts back a little. But, you know, more halachos even than the art school Machzor. Okay, so the Machzor Vitri and the Ritva, they make the Diuk. They say no. They say a Diuk. What is a Diuk? Means this yes, but that no. That's the word Diuk means, right? So it means Arai Mutter Lishtos, or the Diuk is very clear. Shtias Arai is Muteris, but Shtias Keva is Asura Chutz L'Sukka, is forbidden, right? Only Shtias Arai, Shtias Keva is Asura. How do you know what Shtias Arai, what Shtias Keva? Right? Not 100% clear. How do you know what's, where to draw the line between Shtias Arai and Shtias Keva? So, not so clear. You're probably not going to say a kibitza is the dividing line because, like, we don't usually measure drinks in kibitzin. How do we usually measure drinks? Revias. So says the Ritva. Revias.
Of water?
A revias of wine. Of wine. Mm-hmm. A revias of wine needs sukkah. However, says the Machzor Vitri, which is a student of Rashi, he says, no, no, no. A revias of wine is like cute, but I'm not ready to call that keva. So the Machzor Vitri says, he says not a, he thinks a revias is being a little, is being a little too machmir. Put it down somewhere, yeah. He says it's koveya atzmo lishtos. I apologize for a bad handwriting. In Hebrew would be just bad in English. Koveya atzmo lishtos, meaning you affix yourself. You like sit down to drink. Meaning, everyone knows you could take you could take a drink, or you could get together for drinks, right? Sometimes you could take a drink. Okay, that's arai. As opposed to you plan to sit and drink bikvios, like you sit and you have your friends over, and you know that is then that would be a problem. Like you said, come over for drinks. I don't know if people do that, but in like the old movies, there adults would always say to each other, come over for drinks. That would be kvius, as opposed to if you just had a revius, that would not be kvius. Okay, now we have to figure out how we paskin. How do we paskin between these two opinions? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, which I buried here someplace. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm just reading the next lines, Umutter lishtos mayim v'yayin v'lechol peiros. You're allowed to drink water and wine and fruit, even if you establish yourself, your koveya, to like sit and eat them, outside the sukkah is no problem. So, how did the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber paskins? The Mechaber paskins like the Rush. The Mechaber paskins like the Rush. He says you can drink as much wine as you want outside the sukkah. However, the Achronim are not so convinced by this. Because, I mean, who are we to, you know, say that we, that the Rush is the wrong pshat? But nonetheless, like the other pshat is more meduyak, right? Ochlin v'shosan arai chutz l'sukkah. Sounds like you can eat arai but not eat keva. You can drink arai but not drink keva. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah quotes halacha l'maisa, he says, v'da dekama achronim mefak bekin bazeh. Many achronim disagree. And then he quotes all the Rishonim in the Bir Halacha. Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah, he says, many Achronim disagree. But even though in the Bir Halacha he says, I found the Ritva, no one's kosher for the Ritva. No one says if you drink a Revius, then you should do that in the sukkah. So, no, we're not choshesh for the ritva. No, I mean, it's a ritva, and the Bir Halacha quotes the ritva, and he knows it's a ritva, but he says that's going too far. But however, for the Machzor Vitri's version, that if you mamish have a kvius to drink, you mamish sit and drink, like make a big deal of it. And he says, especially if you have chabur, if you get together with friends to drink, which, you know, it's probably a little more psychologically healthy if someone's going to have a lot of alcoholic beverages to do with friends. It's like a little pathetic and like suspicious if they do it by themselves, you know what I mean? But you know, what do I know about different cultures? Anyway, it's Havi Kevagomer, so he's machmer like this Machzor Vitri, and he quotes many, many achronim. The Bach, Lavosh, the Prishel, the Orava. And he says, however, and therefore, says the Mishnah Brura, he says we should be machmer like the Machzor Vitri. However, to say a bra, it's still a suffix, meaning according to the Machaber following the Rosh Yerpater, according to all the other many achronim following the Machzor Vitri, you're chayiv. So what should you do? What should you do, misafik? So it says the Mishnah Brura, you are chayav misafik. You are doubtfully chayav, meaning you have to be machmer to eat in the sukkah, but you can't make a bracha on it. So what should you do? What's the ideal thing to do if, let's say it's a suffik. You're machmer to the misafik. You can do it, but not make a bracha. But what's the best thing to do? To be yotze with a bracha on something else, if it's applicable. Right? So it says, the best thing is to eat some bread with it, and then you'll be able to make a bracha on the bread, and you'll get out of the suffik. But that's how we pass in your chayiv misafik. If you have to do it in the sukkah, you shouldn't make a bracha just on the drinks alone, because maybe the rush was right. However, the best thing to do is to have bread with it, or cake, or something, and then you'll be yotzei no matter what. You made the bracha on the bread or cake, and you were yotzei the wine. Just one question. What kind of drinks count? So adds the Mishnah Brura someplace here, if I recall correctly. Here we are. V'nachon l'chachila. Afilu sh'ar mashkin bo midvash v'shechar. Not dafka wine, even other drinks like midvash and shechar. Right? Eating, he's not machmir on all drinks. He's only machmir on chashiv drinks. What are chashiv drinks? Midvash is... honey med. It was, if you ever read books from the medieval period, the Middle Ages, that's what they drink all the time. It was fermented honey drink. It's spelled M-E-A-D, but I'm pretty sure it's pronounced med, not mead. That's going to be correct if I'm wrong. Anyway, and Shechar's beer, meaning all alcoholic beverages, like anything that's Chamer Medina that you could say like Kiddush and Abdullah on, right? That's a chashav beverage. It adds in the Shari Tzion, what about coffee in our house? And hot chocolate. So here he brings a machlokes. The Masa Shekel says also coffee, and the Ola Shmuel says not coffee. Lemaisa usually, even though so clearly water and soda not, because water and soda are not hush of drinks. You don't like make a big deal of them, right? Alcoholic beverages you do. Coffee is very borderline in our society. Like it's the most borderline drink. On the one hand, you go out to a cafe for coffee. Right? So you're machshav coffee. Although, on the other hand, lots of times we just drink coffee for a little drugs, etc. Or whatever. So it's not like other drinks that we only drink when we're thirsty. Right? You only drink Coke when you're thirsty. You only drink apple juice when you're thirsty. You only drink water when you're thirsty. You're not like, make a big social thing out of it. Alcoholic beverage, you make a social thing out of it. That's kvios. Okay, coffee's in between, because it's like somewhat social and somewhat just because you want either a hot beverage on a cold day, or you want some caffeine. Lemaisa, it's a machlokas rishonim, a machlokas achronim the shartin about coffee, but what is included in this chumra? Wine, alcoholic beverages, not water or soft drinks. Soft drinks is just this old-fashioned phrase for like all the like juices and sodas and things like that. Coffee is controversial. There's two opinions in the Sharat Zion about coffee. Like, what if you invite someone over for coffee? Usually you serve cake anyway when you invite someone over for coffee, so you would eat in the sukkah. What if you invite someone over for coffee without cake? So should you be machmir to drink your coffee in the sukkah? Because maybe that's a chashash of keva, because your mamish conveyor yourself to drink coffee and make a big deal of it socially or not. So there's definitely, you know, if someone wants to be makel, there's plenty of room to be makel. So coffee is a suffix. Okay, therefore, since according to the Rosh, there's no problem with drinks in the first place, even according to the Master Vitri, we're not sure if coffee is included, so wants to be makel, they can be makel on coffee, in my humble opinion. The Sharatzion, though, has a third approach, which really has is found in the Me'iri, although he doesn't quote it. The Sharatzion quotes a third pshat in the Mishnah. What's a third pshat in the Mishnah, or a third derech of taking this? Maybe it's like this. Says the Shar HaTzion, it doesn't make it upstairs in the Mishnah Brura, but says the Shar HaTzion, it is Sivkatan Chavtes. He says, okay, he's been dying. It's not clear in which we've shown him, this is very explicit. Maybe that goes, so Shri means this, maybe not. But says they will say the Shar HaTzion of the Mishnah Brura has an interesting diuk. What's his diuk? He makes the following diuk. Shtiyas arai is muteris. But, not that shtiyas kev is aser. He makes a new deal. This is the third way of reading the Mishnah. But, shtiyah im achilas keva, maybe that's asura chutz l'sukkah. He says, maybe what the Mishnah means this, ochli, you can even drink arai outside the sukkah. But if you eat keva outside the sukkah, then you have to, if you eat keva, you have to drink in the sukkah also. Meaning that's, the shtiyah is tafel to the, there's a diuk in shtiyah. But the diuk in shtiyah is tafel to achilah. You can eat a rye outside the sukkah and drink with it. But you can't eat keva outside the sukkah. Eating keva has to be in the sukkah. And when you eat keva in the sukkah, you have to drink in the sukkah too, because the shtiyah is tafel to the achilah. That's the svara. The svara is that the shtiyah is tafel, technically tefela, because it's feminine, to the achilah. So if you're eating, so shtiyah sarai and shtiyah im achilah sarai, if you drink by itself, or let's say better.
Hold on.
Let me try to make this even clearer. I apologize if I make you erase something. Maybe we could do this. Shtiyah im achilah sarai is mutter outside the sukkah. But shtiyah with achilas keva is asur outside the sukkah. In which case, even if you only drink a little, but if you're drinking it with a meal, then you have to drink it inside the sukkah. And then says the Mishnah Brura, interesting chumrah, if the reason for this is not because shtiyah is chashev. No, it's not that shtiyah is chashev. It's that if the shtiyah is tafel to the achilas, so if you're drinking with a snack, you don't need to go to the sukkah. If you're drinking with a meal, you do need to go to the sukkah. Then he says, even if you're only drinking water, but if it's during a meal, you have to drink it in the sukkah because it's tafel to the meal and it's considered keva. And that's what he says, efshar, even water. And from here comes a big chumrah. You want to hear a great chumrah? You want to hear like one of these like yeshivish chumrahs? That it's hard to imagine it's really occurred to him, but it's like a cool thing if you want to show off how firm you are. Or, you know, just work on Madrigs v'yur Shemayim, honestly. He quotes here that the... one second, it was right here. Here it is. Rav Sternbach, the Shulchan Aruch Hagos, quoted someone who said that let's say you get up in the middle of a meal to serve something or to clear a plate or to go to the bathroom or something. So he says, like, if you have like a little piece left in your mouth, you can't swallow it in the house. Because, like, then it's tuffled to the whole meal and it's considered keva. Okay. The poskim say that that's one of these, like, crazy chumras. Like, minastam, that's not considered chashiv. Just if you have, like, a little piece left in your mouth. Like, it's hard to say that's really considered chashiv. But to really drink, and according to this, and says the Sharetzion, you should be machmir, right? We should be machmir for this, and therefore not to eat and drink any part of a meal outside the sukkah. Even if it's just water. So even though water is for sure a snack, but if the water is in the middle of a meal, then maybe it's tuffle to the meal, and it's considered a achilas kevah. Not everyone agrees to this. So there's a Shulchan Harav, the first Bava to Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, who disagrees. But I think this is a proper chomer. You don't have to be machmer that if there's a little stuck in your mouth, you can't swallow it inside. That seems to be like a crazy chomer. But the idea that maybe the third way of reading the Mishnah, that shtia with achilas arai is mutter, but shtia with achilas kevah is usher, because it's tuffle to the achilas kevah. What that means is that anything that's tuffle to a meal takes on the status of a meal, and you shouldn't eat it in the house. And therefore, you know, this would have a lot of enough to mean zlochomer. Like, you shouldn't even drink a cup of water in the house, says the Mishnah Berurah, in the middle of a meal, because maybe it's part of the meal and it's considered part of the kevah. Or, like, let's say you go in to serve something, you shouldn't, like, take one bite in the house, because normally you take one bite in the house as a snack, but since it's in the middle of the meal, it's awful to the meal, it's considered part of the kevah. So that's a chumer, not everyone agrees to this. That's why I didn't say, like, we must be machmir, and the Mishnah Berurah only put in the Shaar Tzion, which means he wasn't necessarily the mechayev of everyone to follow his psak, otherwise he would have put in the Mishnah Berurah. But I think that it is a proper chumer.
Dessert is part of that also?
Dessert is interesting. I looked in the Piskei Tshuvos, he didn't say. It would seem to me that it would probably depend whether it was a dessert you needed to make a bracha on or not. Meaning, let's say you, not that I would ever do such a thing, but let's say you like sneak like a jelly beans in the middle of a yontif meal or something. So that shouldn't be mutter in the house, because you have to say shahakal on jelly beans. They're not covered by the meal, so it's hard to say, even though they're covered by benching. Ah. They're not covered by hamotzi, but they're covered by benching, right? If you eat jelly beans during the meal, they're covered by benching. So, okay, anyone meets my wife, please don't mention this example. But yesh l'stapik, it seems to me that if someone wants to be makel on a dessert like a jelly beans that you have to make shahakal on, you could say that's not part of the meal, because I need a separate bracha. But let's say a dessert you wouldn't make a bracha on, that you would be yotzi as part of the meal, then I think it would be kedai to be machmir. You know, without getting to Hilvos Brachos, but our practice is that we consider many desserts to be part of the meal, so then it would probably be Kedai to be Machmer, based on the Shaar Tzion, which is based on a third way of interpreting the Mishnah. Okay, now here comes the tough part. We're not going to get to the whole Sif, it looks like. But here comes the tough part, Peiros. As the Mechaber, you can eat Peiros as much outside of the Sukkah. The Ramah adds in these verses, they have filu kava layu, even if you eat them bikvios, which is very poshut. In the Beis Yosef, that he means even if you eat bikvios. Peiros you can eat outside the sukkah. Anyone know, where does it say you can eat peiros outside the sukkah? Now what's the chiddush? The chiddush is not a kibetz of peiros. Obviously you can eat a kibetz of peiros outside the sukkah. You can eat a kibetz of bread outside the sukkah. That's no chiddush. Chiddush is even a whole table full of peiros you can eat outside the sukkah. Right? Let's say literal peiros, right? Apples. I can eat 12 apples outside the sukkah if I want, even though it's a tremendous amount and it's going to fill me up. I mean, I don't know how my stomach will react to 12 apples, but the apples are pretty healthy, no? Pretty solid. Okay. I can eat 12 apples outside the sukkah. I can eat 20 apples outside the sukkah if I want, because they're peiros. Does it say anywhere in Maseches Sukkah that peiros are potter from sukkah? Where does it say that peiros are potter from sukkah? Peiros are potter from sukkah? Well, it doesn't say that peiros are potter from sukkah, but what does it say in the Mishnah? That they brought Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Gamliel, two kosavos, two dates, right? And water. And he was makir to eat in the sukkah, even though he didn't have to. So it's clear that two dates are potter from sukkah. There's a discussion in Maseches Yoma, not here, in the eighth parak of Yoma, why that was. Is it because two dates is very small, or because it's peiros? And the mainstream opinion of Rava there, who we normally paskin like, is that peiros are potter from sukkah. So almost everyone in the world agrees that peiros are potter from sukkah, because that's the pashup shot in the Mishnah of Rav Gamliel. Now I know, don't get it backwards. Rav Gamliel Taka ate the dates in the sukkah. But the Gemara says he ate the dates in the sukkah as a chumrah, because he was really potter. So we see that dates are really potter from sukkah, right? So so we see, why are dates potter from sukkah? So most opinions in the Maseches Yoma explain because peiros are potter from sukkah. On the other hand, the Gemara in Yoma implies that there's something else which is chayiv in sukkah. What's that other thing called? Mine Targima. Mine Targima seem to be Chayiv and Sukkah. How do we know that Mine Targima are Chayiv and Sukkah? Where did they deduce that from? Now, I'm telling you, all this is going to be controversial. I'm just telling you mainstream, right? The Pashut Pshat, the mainstream opinion, right? Mainstream opinion is that Peros are Potter. The Makor is Rabbi Gamliel with his Shtei Kosavos, his two dates, and the mainstream explanation, Seches Yoma, is that he was Potter because Peros are Potter from Sukkah, and he did it anyway because he was Rabbi Gamliel and he was exceedingly holy. How about Mine Targima? Mine Targima, the mainstream opinion is that they're Chayiv in Sukkah. How do we know they're Chayiv in Sukkah? What's the logic? It seems to be a good logic, they're Chayiv in Sukkah. How do we know they're Chayiv in Sukkah? Because, what does the Gemara say about them? You can use them for Hashlama, right? You can use them to make up the meal in the Sukkah. L'chor, if you can use them to make up the meal, that means they're Chayiv. And the Gemara in Yoma, Taka, in the Shaka Mashari, the Gemara in Yoma, it says, well, since you can make up a meal, then they must be Chayiv in Sukkah. At least that's the Pashup Pshat. So, they are Chayiv, and the Makor is, right, Hashlama. Right? And Daf Chav Zayin and Aleph. Right? The here we could, this is Chav Vav and Beis. And this is Chav Zayin and Aleph. Okay, it's not a proof, but that's the mainstream opinion. Now we have to figure out how we paskin. If anyone learned the Beis Yosef, who is the Das Yachid who wants to say Peros or Taka Chayiv and Sukkah? Anyone remember? What? Was that the Rabbeinu Peretz, or was that right before the Rabbeinu Peretz, I thought? The Maharam Meirutenberg, right? Yeah. He was right next to it. Maharam Meirutenberg, he's the famous Maharam. Well, not the Maharam back in the Gemara, that's an Achron, like under the Marsha. He was the Maharam Rishon. He was a very famous Rishon. Most yeshiva guys don't learn him as much, but he was like one of the greatest of the later Bali Tosos, Maharam Meirutenberg. His name was Meir, and he came from Rotenberg. That's the last name, Rothenberg. You know anyone from Rothenberg? Maybe they're relatives of Maharam Meirutenberg. They came from the same town in Germany. He was the Gadol Hador. He was the Rebbe of everyone else who we heard of all the time. The Rush was his Talmud, and the Mordechai was his Talmud. You know on the bottom of the Rambam, Hagos Maimonios, which like brings down all the sheets of the Ashkenazic Rishonim. He was also his Talmud. He was like the Rebbe of the whole generation there. There's a famous story about the trouble he got into with the law, or not with the law, with the banditry of the feudal lords in those times. He didn't do like bad things to get in trouble with the law. He got in trouble with the law for being Jewish and important, which you know they didn't like in those days, right? The famous story, they put him in jail and they wanted the Jewish community to pay a lot of ransom for him, and he refused to let them spend all the money on him, and he died in jail. The Maharam Meirutenberg. Anyway, so the Maharam Meirutenberg here, if we want to have, let's say, four opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion, we'll start with the most machmir. And even the Maharam, it's not 100% clear. The truth is, in the Maharam Meirutenberg, whether he's just being machmir on himself, because he was definitely good suspicion. Like, out of all of the Rishonim, I think if you look for like people who are machmir on themselves, extra chumers, the Maharam Meirutenberg did more than anyone else. He was just a very pious person. But the way the Beis Yosef quotes him, and the Rush analyzes him, is he was machmir even on Peros. And it sounds like, well, the Lashon of Beis Yosef, I don't have in front of me, he was machmir even on Peros because he suspected that Peros are Chayiv and Sukkah, right? That's what it says in the Beis Yosef? Yeah. He suspected Peros are Chayiv and Sukkah. So says the Maharam, he's against this mainstream. He says, right, or at least he's choshesh, that Peros are Chayiv and Sukkah. Meaning, according to this, everything's Chayiv and Sukkah, right? Even Peros. Against this mainstream that I just put on the board. What does he do with the Mishnah of the Shtei Kosavos and Dli Shalmayim? So why a two dates Potter from Sukkah? So it's not really a big problem. So you look in Yoma, there are two opinions there. He just passed like the other opinion. There's an opinion that Peros are Chayiv in Sukkah. So why were the two dates Potter from Sukkah? I already said it before. Because? Because they're less than a kibitza. There's a whole discussion. That's the real discussion in Yoma. How big is a date compared to an egg? So I don't know, you've eaten dates, right? You've eaten eggs. Two dates? I'm not so good with spatial reasoning. But, you know, you've seen dates, right? At least a Rosh Hashanah Simon. You know, maybe you don't like them, but you at least have to, like, pretend. On the Rosh Hashanah, two dates. Yeah, I think two dates could maybe fit into an egg. Right? So that's fine. Two dates are less than an egg. That's why it was mutter. It had nothing to do with payros, right? He would answer that the shtei kosavos are pturim. I mean, technically, it's not the dates that are pater, it's the person who's pater, but whatever. Nishon she'enam yoser mikabetza. Right? That's poshet. Yeah, Rami Gamliel wasn't talking about fruits being pater. It was talking about small amounts. Two kosavos, two dates are less than, right? And the whole discussion anymore says, of course, without the pits, you can't count the pits. You didn't need the pits. So for sure, two dates, you take out the pits. Again, obviously their eggs might have been different size than our eggs, and their dates might have been different size than our dates. But there's an opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyah in the Gemara there who says this. And he passed like that's one opinion in the Gemara. Fine. The other radical shita is, not found in Beis Yosef, is the Rabbi Yonasan Milunil. I don't know if you've seen a lot of Rabbi Yonasan Milunil. The only, oh, okay, I guess you've been Zohar. Rabbi Yonasan Milunil is a very cool Rishon. He's actually printed in the back of the Gemara in Masechet you're unlikely to learn in any yeshiva. You know where the Ran is? On the side of the Rif? So in, like, generally in Moed and Noshim, you have the Ran on the side. In Zikin, you usually have the Muka Yosef on the side, which is almost the same thing. The Muka Yosef was a Talmud of the Ran who wrote in the same style. In Erevin, for some reason, which I don't know why, they put Rabbi Yonah Samuel on the side of the Rif. And in Brachas, they put Rabbi Yonah on the side of the Rif. Okay, I don't know why, meaning I don't think it was a deep lumbus. I think it was just like what the printer found, like he didn't find the Ran in Erevin, so he found Rabbi Yonah Samuel. But Rabbi Yonah Samuel is very, very chashiv. He's often quoted in the Me'iri, but it's hard to tell because anyone ever learned Me'iri? What's the one strange thing about the Me'iri, how he quotes people? He never uses names, right? So he either gives them a nickname or says Yeshomer. So the popular Rishonim we know by their nickname, because he quotes them a lot. But the, you know, less common Rishonim either just says Yeshomerim or he just uses a nickname that we don't know what it means. Anyway, but here this Rabbi Yosef Lunel is quoted in the Me'iri, actually. And it's mefurish if you put two Rav Yaz together, two Rav Yaz in a row together. Says the number four, the Rav Yah and the Rav Yonasan Milunil. Lunil is just a town in Provence. Provence means, what does Provence mean? Provence means southern France. That's all it means. Why is it called Provence? Because the big empire was the Roman Empire. You come out of Italy, what's the first place you conquer? Southern France, and that's your province. So they call it the Provence. So Provence is southern France. The Rivet came from Provence and the Balamor and the Me'iri and the Yonasan Milunil and other Rishonim who are even more obscure than Yonasan Milunil, like the Sefer Shlomo, the Sefer Metam, the Sefer Ma'oros. Anyway, so that's his town, Lunil. Sure, it's a nice place. And he was really tremendous Chidushim. Anyway, say the Rav Yah and Rav Yonasan Milunil. Rav Yonasan Milunil says it very explicitly. The Rav Yah puts two and two together. What do I mean by that? The Rav Yah says that peros are potter from sukkah, and mini targima means peros. You put two and two together and it gets to that peros are potter from sukkah, and mini targima is potter from sukkah. And the Rav Yonasan says beforeish mini targima is potter from sukkah. And so what do they say? They say, here he says, afilu peros are chayavim basukkah. They say, no, afilu, you know, or let's say, peros u mine targima are turim min hasukkah. Peros and mine targima are potter from sukkah. How can you use something potter from sukkah to be mashlim your suda? So the Rabbi Yosef Lunil says, no, that's exactly the point. The way you're mashlim your suda is by eating something that's normally potter from sukkah and you eat it anyway, and that's how you make up something. Who says you need some chayev? They say that, right, you can be mashlim even with something potter. And you know, someone else says that's the point. You're mashlim by eating something potter in the sukkah. That shows that it's like something extra to be mashlim. Okay, neither of these are mainstream. Mainstream is, right, 2 to 3 is all the Rishonim, right? Rove Rishonim, like 95% Rove Rishonim say, no, the mainstream, what I said, which is that Peiros are Peturim and Mine Targima are Chayavim. What's the only thing that most Rishonim have to explain? Peiros are Potter. Mine Targima are Chayav. What's the only thing they have to explain, which Tosus deals with? You all learn Tosus, right? Enough from Zion and Aleph. Right? What did Rashi say? Rashi says, Mini Targima meant Parparos Mandonim like Peiros. Whoa, how can Mini Targima mean Peiros? Mini Targima are Chayav, Peiros are Potter. So, some people say Rashi holds like the Rav Yah. He holds Mini Targima are also Potter, and that's why Mini Targima can mean Peiros. And Tosus argued on him. They say they must be two different things. Peiros are not important foods, they're Potter. Mini Targima are important foods, they're Chayav. The question is, where do you draw the line? What are Mina Targima that are more important than Peiros? So how many opinions are there about what are Mina Targima that are more important than Peiros? Tell me any opinion. What are Mina Targima?
Meat.
Yeah,
what? Who says that? You're about to give me the correct answer. Who says it means meat?
Tosos.
Tosos says, and it doesn't mean davka meat. Meat is an example of what category? Of what's the category that meat represents?
Keva.
What?
Keva.
Keva, meaning food that you eat
with bread.
In a meal with bread. Food that you eat in a meal. We all know the difference between meal food and snack food, right? Everyone knows potato chips are snack food, right? And everyone knows apples are snack food. And everyone knows chocolate bars are snack food. And everyone knows that meat and chicken and gefilte fish and chulent and rice and kugel are meal foods, right? That's the question, is where to draw the line. And here, you notice I'm going from Machbir to Miko. So, Shita 2 is the opinion of Tosos and many Rishonim. Tosos, the Ritva, you guys learned a lot of Ra'ah also? Right, okay, some. The Ra'ah is not so different than the Ritva. It's like 90% overlap. Basically, there was in Spain, in like northeastern Spain, Catalonia, there was a school of tremendous like Rishonim, started with the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba and the Ra'ah and the Ritva going down to the Ran, etc. So the Ra'ah was. Same as the Rashba, Talmud of the Ramban, Rebbe of the Ritva. Right, there was just like one school, and obviously each of them say slightly different things, but the Ra'ah is basically in the school of the Ritva, and if we had Rashba and Ramban, he would be in their school also. So says the Ra'ah, they say no, that Mine Targima equals meal foods. Mine Targima is meal foods. So meal foods are chayim in sukkah, and peiri equals snack foods. Meal foods are chayav in the sukkah.
Are they different than rove?
No, there's one possibility. Sorry, this is one half of rove rishonim. Sorry, two. And Rashi and Yoma seems to agree. Because how does Rashi and Yoma define mina targima? He says lifton. Lifton means things you eat with bread, right? So I would add Rashi and Yoma. Why does Rashi and sukkah say it means peiros? Some people say he didn't really mean it meant peiros. It meant the other things. Just you also ate peiros in his day. There are many different explanations. Okay. However, there's another shita, and that's the shita of the Rush, which is in the Beis Yosef, and the Tosos Yishonim in Yoma. Right? On Yoma, on the side of the page, you have Tosos Yishonim. Why are Tosos Yishonim? What does Yishonim mean? What's Yashan mean?
Old.
Why are Tosos Yishonim called Tosos Yishonim? Like, were they written earlier than the other Tosos? Tosos Yishonim or called Tosos Yishonim just because first, like, they printed one set of Tosos. You know, there's like 100 different sets of Tosos because there was no guy named Tosos, right? Tosos was like a bunch of yeshivas and a way of learning. Tosos is like briskers. Like, it's a bunch of yeshivas over like a couple hundred years. I mean, briskers haven't been a couple hundred years yet, but well, not to worry. And like, all the Bali Tosos, all the Gedolim wrote their own Tosos. You know, which was like their sikkum of how to learn. So when they printed, how did they decide whose Tosos to print on the page when they first printed the Gemara? Whatever manuscript the printer had, he put on the side of the page. So then what happened? There was one Tosos, one version of Tosos on the side of the page, just like in Sukkah. You notice we have Tosos Rosh, Tosos written in Peretz, just different versions of Tosos written by different people. So in Yoma, they had one version of Tosos on the side of the page, and then when they came to reprint the Gemara, he found an old manuscript with a different version of Tosos. Says, whoa, that manuscript is older than my printed Gemara. Well, obviously. So they call, that must be old Tosos, because I found it in an old manuscript, not in my new printed Gemara. So what I'm going to do is take all the Chidushin from that old Tosos and put it in the margins when I reprint, and that's why it's called Tosos Yeshayim. But it doesn't mean that it was written any older than the Tosos on the Daf. It just means that when the guy printed Shas the second time, he says, my printing is sparkling new and this manuscript is old, so this must be the old Tosos. That's Tosos Yeshayim. It's just like Tosos Rosh, a different version of Tosos. They just don't know who wrote it, so they couldn't give it a name. So, says the Tosos Shonim Yoma in the Rush, what are Mine Targima? What does he say it means? In one word? Mine Targima, according to the Rush? Mizonos. Mizonos, meaning things made out of grain. Right? Oatmeal, cholent, etc. So now we have four different opinions. Maram says everything needs a sukkah, as long as it's more than a kibitza. Says the Tosos and the Ritva and the Ra'ah, any meal food needs a sukkah, but snack food, no. Says the Rush, even meal foods don't need a sukkah unless they're Mizonos. And says the Rav Yarim Yosef Lunel, probably, no, only bread needs a sukkah. So what needs a sukkah, right? What needs sukkah? One shita is all food, another shita is all meal food. A third shita is only mizonos. And a fourth shita is only bread. How do we paskin? So, it's not so clear in the mechaber. What does the mechaber say? Peiros don't need a sukkah. So, clear that we don't paskin like the Maran rumor. Peiros don't need a sukkah. But nothing else, peiros don't need a sukkah, but what does need a sukkah? Right? The Mechaber doesn't clarify himself. Here he quotes Lashon the Rambam, which says, Peiros don't need a sukkah, he doesn't clarify. But how do we know which of these sheets is to hold by? Do all meal foods need a sukkah? Does only Mizonos need a sukkah? Does only bread need a sukkah? So, Mishnah Berurah quotes from all the Achronim that this is all controversial. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in Zivkat and Yodalit, in Zivkat and Tesvav, I mean, he says that... let's continue the Mechaber. He said one more line. Someone is Macher himself and doesn't eat anything out of the Sukkah, even water, that's Meshuvach. Here it's interesting, where did he get that idea from? From what? Where the Rambam get that idea from? Where do you get the idea? It's good, it's Meshuvach, it's praiseworthy to be Machmir and not even eat Araya outside the Sukkah. From the Mishnah of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. There's also another story in Yerushalmi that supports it, which you didn't know. But from the Mishnah of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that they were machmir themselves. Interestingly, were all Tanoim machmir on themselves not to have anything outside the sukkah? Who wasn't? Rabbi Tzadok. Remember, he ate less than a kibitza without feels tonight, without benching outside the sukkah. So what do we learn from this? Meiri says, we learned from this that you can have gedolei olam. Like, who of us even understand the madriga of any of the three of them, right? We're very far from understanding the difference between Rabbi Tzadok, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who were not just Tanaim, but were like the gedolei Tanaim, like Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai were the nasi of the Sanhedrin, and Rabbi Tzadok was like even the tzaddik of all of them, as we know from the stories of the Korban Abayis, how much Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he like was machshir him as the tzaddik hador. So, within these gedolim, some were machmer and some weren't. So what does that prove? So the Meiri says, and the Bir Halacha is mechamin to it on its own, that proves that there's an inyan of a shevach to be machmir, but if you're not machmir and you just do what's the din, then you can also be shtark. There are different ways of avodas Hashem. You can be super shtark tana and be machmir more than the din, or you can be a super shtark tana and just be machmir the din. And therefore, says the Bir Halacha, who is mechavin to the Meiri, even if someone's not machmir and just does the halacha, that doesn't mean they're not a tzaddik in medaktik b'mitzvos. Okay, nowadays there are some people who are yirei shemayim medaktik b'mitzvos who are machmir not to have anything outside the sukkah, even a drink, even anything. And there are some people who are like Rutsadev who just follow the halacha. Okay, everyone should decide on their own. And ends the mechaber. V'tav shel ha'asu mechameshes minim. What about mizonos? Cooked food from the five species of grain. Im koveh lov chashem keva sar suda. If you eat keva, that's called keva and you need a suda. Basically, he's passing like the rush. This is the mechaber. He doesn't say all meal food. Only mizonos needs sukkah, but not meal foods. That's the psak of the mechaber. What does the Mishnah Berurah say to complicate matters a little? Says the Mishnah Berurah, not so fast. Not so fast. Says ki mukama achronim, that you should be machmer on basar, dogim, and gvina. Bekvius. You should be machmer on meat and cheese. Again, nowadays we have cheese sticks. I don't think he meant cheese sticks. That's clearly not a meal food. But he meant like if you eat a meal food. Should be machmer on meal foods, not to eat them outside the sukkah. This is a big issue nowadays. Like a lot of people, they want to go on tzeil during sukkahs, so they don't bring any mizonos. But they bring, like, you know, hamburgers and schnitzel. Schnitzel with cornflake crumbs, so won't be mizonos. According to any sheet does, you know, and kugels and all kinds of things. So is that okay or not? If they would say, I'm bringing potato chips and chocolate bars and fruits and cucumbers, and that's fine. That's peros. But all that food, says the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Mechaber, it's fine. You can have a full meal, just no mizonos or amotzi outside the sukkah, and that's all called a rai. But the Mishnah Berurah says, many achronim said you should be machmer on this. And therefore, you should be machmer on this. You know, what if someone wants to follow the Mechaber and that's their minhag? Whatever, I'm not going to fight with people. But let's just summarize the halacha l'maisa. Summarize the halacha l'maisa, says the Mishnah Berurah, lefi Mishnah Berurah, who summarized the achronim, on meal food, on what's his peros are mutar outside the sukkah. We're not choshev maharam, unless you want to have a chumrah. But we're not choshev din for the maharam. What about meal foods? Says the Mishnah Berurah, you should be machmir, of course, without a bracha, right? You're not going to make a bracha on it, if you eat a real kfias. You should be machmir your real kfias. What do I mean by real kfias? I mean not a kibetza. If you're eating a real meal's worth. If you're eating a real meal's worth of meal food, you should be machmir to not eat it outside the sukkah, to go into the sukkah. You shouldn't make a bracha on it. Also bring mezonos for a bracha if you can. That is to be choshesh for tosos. And I think Rov Rishonim are like tosos. I don't think there's like a chomer in the Mishnah Berurah that we should not take seriously. I think many Rishonim and tosos on the daf hold that way.
What are you saying in terms of the manner in which you're eating it, the content of what you're eating there, or how much you're eating? So like, let's say you have like a piece of steak, or like or you're sitting down with a bunch of people, do you have a steak? Or like, what's relevant?
I think he would mean if you're eating a lot or you're sitting down for a real social meal. Now, how about mizonos? So mizonos, of course, we're machmer. The machaber himself is machmer that you have to eat it in the sukkah. However, adds the Mishnah Berurah that give me half a second. Yeah, here it is. That you make a bracha taka, but on how much? So, says the Mishnah Berurah, that when it comes to mizonos, then it is vadai chayiv besukkah. With a bracha, because that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and almost all Rishonim agree. My Ram says even peyos are chayiv besukkah, and Tulsa says all meal foods, and even the Rush. Maybe the Rav Yo would disagree, but I'm saying it's, you know, and we could even make a bracha. The only question is, how much mizonos is called kfias? How much mizonos is called kfias? More than a kibetza? Or only if you mamish have a meal or you sit for like a real social gathering, but there are kfias. Here the Mishnah Berurah brought a machlokas achronim. He brought a machlokas between Bashmos and Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham, says the Mishnah Berurah, but with a bracha if you have kvius mamish. If you have yoser mikabetza, then he's mesupah. Do we say mizonos is like bread more than kabetza is kvius? Or no, mizonos is not like bread. It's only kvius if you really sit down to a meal. And therefore he says without a bracha, basically if you have mizonos, if you're eating kvius mamish with a bracha. Because the Mechaber Paskins like the Rush. However, the Mechaber says only if you're koveilov, sounds like real kfias. The Magen Avraham says even if you eat more than kibetza. So therefore, if you have more than a kibetza of oatmeal, but less than, more than a kibetza of oatmeal or porridge or chulit, but less than a real meal, you should do it without a bracha, or the best thing is to like bring some bread or cake and make a bracha. One last thing we have to discuss, and this gets tricky, is that bread, this is pashut, right? Bread, pas, is of course vadai chayav besukkah with a bracha, if it's more than a kibitza. That's what we had on the last board. What's the one last thing before I let you go that we have to figure out? Is there something that's on the borderline between mezonos and bread? Because remember, if you ate bread more than a kibitza, we'd say a bracha. If you ate mezonos more than a kibitza, we'd do it without a bracha until you had mamash a meal. What's in between oatmeal and bread? Pasa baba kisnin. What about cakes and cookies and pretzels? Pasa baba kisnin. And for some halachic purposes, it's considered bread. And for some halachic purposes, it's considered mezonos. So what about pasa baba kisnin? So that's the next Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what about pasa baba kisnin? Does it go with bread or does it go with mezonos? So he said that there are deyas bein ha'achrona about this. And he says, what about pasa baba kisnin? Where does pasa baba kisnin go? Right? And with this, I will let you go. And then we'll have all the halacha l'maisa. Although there's more lumdus that we didn't say, but pas hababa kisnin. Does it go with mezonos? Or does it go with bread? What's the nafgamina? If you have more than kibetza, but not a meal, not a real kvias, more than kibetza, but not a meal, do you say there's no bracha? Or do you say yes, bracha? Do you say pas hababa kisnin is pas? Let's say I have more than kibetza, it's not so hard in pasa baba kisnin. Let's say I have a pastry. Most pastries are bigger than an egg, right? Let's say I have a pastry more than a kibetza. So, or I have a black and white cookie, that's a few kibetza in there. You know, a big one. Or I have a big slice of cake. Big slice of cake. Or, I have a few Oreo cookies. Or a bag of pretzels, right? Small bag of pretzels. That's more than a kibetza, it's more than an egg. So, do I say bleishi basukkah because it's bread more than a kibetza? Or do I say, no, this is just mezonos, and if it's more than a kibetza, it's machlokes, machaber, magen avram, and I should do it without a bracha? Unclear. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the minhag olam is that pas baba kisnin is like pas, and you say a bracha. This is the minhag olam. The Mishnah Berurah himself thinks that, says the Mishnah Berurah himself, I'm worried a little about maybe you shouldn't be making a bracha. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah himself, Mishnah Berurah is worried and says maybe don't make a bracha unless two cases where he admits you can make a bracha. Either if you're having it for Kiddush on Shabbos, so it's extra chashav, or, because that's Kiddush Malkum Suda, so it's more like a Suda, or if you also sit and do other things in the Sukkah. Because then he's mitzarif, the shita of the Rambam and others, that anytime you do anything in Sukkah, you make a bracha. So he's worried not to make a bracha. The minhag olam is to make a bracha on pasa baba kisnin, even in a kibetza. However, the Mishnah is worried unless it's Kiddush, because in Kiddush, maybe it counts more like a meal, or you hang out in the Sukkah. So if you hang out in the Sukkah, then maybe you have to make a bracha because of the slice of cake, and even if not, maybe you have to make a bracha because of hanging out in the Sukkah, even though neither of those alone would be enough. Together, they're good enough, and that's the Psak Halacha. Here you have all the Psak Halacha, I'll be the Mishnah Berurah and the Achronim, about every single thing you can eat in the Sukkah. We didn't get to the end of Sif Beis, but I'll have to leave you in the able hands of Chesky.
Well, thank you very much, Rebbe. Next week, guys, we're now going to go ahead and dig more into the sugyas about Shena, whether it's Arai or Keva, and also whether or not you're a Pater because it's been styring nowadays. And that will be a Mishnah next Thursday or Friday. Afterwards, we'll move on to Sif Kim.
Okay, have a great Shabbos, everybody.